Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Nun Dalet. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefa stated in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mavarchin al Ur ben B'motzi Shabbos ben B'motzi Yom Kippurim v'chen al Madvar. We recite a bracha over the flame of Motzi Shabbos and on Motzi Yom Kippurim, and this is how the people conduct themselves. The Gemara challenges this statement of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion from a brisa that states, Ein Mavarchin al Ur el B'motzi Shabbos hoil tchilas briyasu. We may not recite a bracha over the flame except Motzi Shabbos, since that time is the beginning of fire's creation. The Kevin Shavro Mevarch Miyad, and when one sees it for the first time after Shabbos, he recites the bracha immediately. Rabbi Yudit says, so do in all coats, one recites all the brachas of Havdalah in order over a cup of wine. And Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is like Rabbi Yudit. So this implies that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yudit completely, and a bracha is not recited Motzi Yom Kippur. The Gemara answers Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes was referring to Ur Sheh Shabbos, fire that rested on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which Rashi explains that it was either lit beforehand or it was lit for a permissible reason, such as for the needs of someone who was sick. The bracha is recited because the flame which had been forbidden to use is now fully permitted. The Braisa was referring to Ur HaYotz Min HaEtz Min HaAvonim, fire that issues anew from wood and stones. Since fire was created Motzi Shabbos, it's appropriate to make a bracha over such fire. But there's no reason to recite a bracha on it on Motzi Yom Kippur. Point number two, the Daf presents 10 items and phenomena that were created the first Erev Shabbos at Beinah Shemashos, and 7 things that were created before the creation of the physical world. In addition, it was taught in a Braisa, Shiva Dvarim Mechusim B'nei Adam, 7 things are concealed from people. Yom HaMisa, the day of one's death, Yom HaNechama, the day of consolation, which Rashi explains as the exact time when one will be relieved from his anxiety or distress, but Oma Kedin, the depth of judgment, which Rashi explains either means the depth of cases of judgment, of which most people will make mistakes about, or the judgment that will be made in the future. A person also doesn't know what is in his fellow's mind, nor the business will make a profit in, nor when Malchus Beis David will return, or when the guilty Malchus will perish, which Rashi explains refers to Edom. And point number three, Rava expounded, Ubaros Amenikos Mesanos Mashrimasbo. Pregnant and nursing women are obligated to fast and complete their fast on Tisha B'Av, just as they're obligated to fast and complete their fast in Yom Kippur. And during Beinah Shemashos of Tisha B'Av, they're not permitted to eat. And this was said as well in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara asks, if he in fact said this, as Rabbi Yochanan said, Tisha B'Av is not like a tainus seaboard for rain. So doesn't this mean that he holds that on Tisha B'Av one is permitted to eat during Beinah Shemashos? The Gemara concludes that the distinction Rabbi Yochanan made was that he holds on a Tainas Tzibor reciting Ne'il as a Chiyuv, whereas on Tisha B'Av it's a Rishus. Another answer is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that on Tisha B'Av one does not recite the 24 brachas in the Shemona Esrei that is said on a Tainas Tzibor. So once again, the 3 points are number one, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefa stated in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mevarchin al Ur ben Memosi Shabbos ben Memosi Yom Kippurim v'chen al Madvar. We recite a bracha over the flame on Mosi Shabbos and on Motzi Yom Kippurim, and this is how the people conduct themselves. So the Gemara challenges this statement, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion from a brisa that states, Ein Mevarchin al Ur el b'Motzi Shabbos hoil v'tchilas b'riyasu. We may not recite a bracha over the flame except Motzi Shabbos, since that time is the beginning of fire's creation. The Chavon Shavro Mevarch Miyad, and when one sees it for the first time after Shabbos, he recites the bracha immediately. Rabbi Yudah says, Sodron al Kos, one recites all the brachas of Havdalah in order over a cup of wine. And Rabbi Yochanan said the halakas of Rabbi Yudah. So this implies that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yehuda completely, and a bracha is not recited Motzi Yom Kippur. The Gemara answers Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes was referring to Ur Sheh Shabbos, fire that rested on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, which Rashi explains that was either lit beforehand or it was lit for a permissible reason, such as for the needs of someone who was sick. The bracha is recited because the flame which had been forbidden to use is now fully permitted. The Braisa was referring to Ur HaYotzi Min HaEtzim U'Min HaAvonim, fire that issues anew from wood and stones. Since fire was created Motzi Shabbos, it's appropriate to make a bracha over such fire. But there's no reason to recite a bracha on it on Motzi Yom Kippur. Point number two, the Daf presents 10 items and phenomena that were created the first Erev Shabbos at Beinah Shemashos, and 7 things that were created before the creation of the physical world. In addition, was taught in a Braisa, Shiva Dvarim Mechusim B'nei Adam, 7 things are concealed from people. Yom HaMisa, the day of one's death. Yom HaNechama, the day of consolation, which Rashi explains as the exact time when one will be relieved from his anxiety or distress. But Oma Kedin, the depth of judgment, which Rashi explains either means the depth of cases of judgment, of which most people make mistakes about, or the judgment that will be made in the future. A person also doesn't know what is in his fellow's mind, nor the business he'll make a profit in, nor when Malchus Beis David will return, or when the guilty Malchus will perish, which Rashi explains refers to Edom. And point number three, Rav expounded, Ubaros Amenikos Misanos Amashrimos Bo. Pregnant and nursing women are obligated to fast and complete their fast on Tisha B'Av, just as they're obligated to fast and complete their fast in Yom Kippur. And during Ben Hishmash, of Tisha B'Av, they're not permitted to eat. And this was said as well in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara asks if he in fact said this. As Rabbi Yochanan said, Tisha B'Av is not like a Tanya Sibur for rain. So doesn't this mean that he holds that on Tisha B'Av one is permitted to eat during Ben Hishmash? The Gemara concludes that the distinction Rabbi Yochanan was making is that he holds that on a Tanya Sibur, reciting the Ila is a Chiyuv, whereas on Tisha B'Av it's a Rishus. Another answer is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that on Tisha B'Av one does not recite the 24 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei that is said on a Tanya Sibur. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Nun Dalet, and our standard simon is noodles. Noodles. So here goes. The famed pastor chef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients for the famished, pregnant, and nursing woman who said Ne'ilah felt like it lasted longer than Tisha B'Av and a Tanya Sibur. Once again, in slow motion. The famed pastor chef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur and then used it to cook a pot of noodles. Noodles? That must be more on Daf Nun Dalet. The famed pastor chef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, which reminds us that we resolve the contradiction statements from Rabbi Yochanan, whether one makes a bracha on light, Motzi Yom Kippur, by clarifying Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yef is referring to Ur Shabbos, fire that rested on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which Rashi explains that was either lit beforehand or it was lit for a permissible reason, such as for the needs of someone who was sick. The bracha is recited because the flame which had been forbidden to use is now fully permitted. The Braisa was referring to Ur HaYotz Min HaEitz Min HaVanim, fire that issues anew from wood and stones. Since fire was created Motzi Shabbos, it's appropriate to make a bracha over such fire, but there's no reason to recite a bracha on it on Motzi Yom Kippur. So the famed pastor chef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients, which reminds us seven things are concealed from people, such as the Yom HaMisa, the day of death, Yom HaNechama, the day of consolation, the Yom HaKadin, the death of judgment, what's in someone else's mind, what business will profit in, when will Malchus based David arrive, and the evil Malchus will perish. So the famed pastor chef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients for the famished, pregnant, and nursing woman who said Ne'ilah felt like it lasted longer than Tisha B'Av and a Tanya Sibur. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan holds that pregnant and nursing women are obligated to fast and complete their fast on Tisha B'Av, just as they're obligated to fast and complete their fast in Yom Kippur. And during Ben Hishmashos of Tisha B'Av, they're not permitted to eat. And that when Rabbi Yochanan said Tisha B'Av is not like a Tanya Sibur for rain, he was making the distinction that on a Tanya Sibur, reciting Ne'ilah is a Chiyuv, whereas on Tisha B'Av, it's a Rishus. Another answer is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that on Tisha B'Av, one does not recite the 24 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei that is said on a Tanya Sibur. So once again, the famed pastor chef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients for the famished, pregnant, and nursing woman who said Ne'ilah felt like it lasted longer than Tisha B'Av and a Tanya Sibur. All right, now it's time to go to our four blot back chazara. Daf Nun, so the simmer Daf Nun is a nincompoop. A nincompoop, so here goes. The nincompoop, that must be more on Daf Nun. The nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba, which reminds us that when Rabbi Yosef got sick and his soul left his body and saw an Olam Hafuch, an upside-down world where the Elyonim were Lamata v'Tachtonim Lamala, the ones who are uppermost in this world are below an Olam Haba, and the lowly in this world are above an Olam Haba, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, his father, said to his son, B'ni Olam Baru Re'isa, my son, you've seen a clear world. He then asked Rabbi Yosef how we, Talmud Chachamim, were regarded there, and Rabbi Yosef answered, just as we're regarded here, so we're regarded there. His father asked what they were saying there, and his son replied that he heard them saying, Ashrei mi shebalo kan b'Talmud b'yado. Fortunate is he who comes here and his learning is in his hand. So the nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and hid pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, which reminds us that the Gemara asks what it means when the Pasuk says, Bayomahu Yashem Achad Shmo Achad, that one day Hashem's name will be one. Isn't it one now? It means that whereas we write Hashem's name with the letters Yud, Hey, and so on, we pronounce the name with the letters Aleph, Dalet, but in the future it will be written and pronounced with the letters of Yud, Hey. This is alluded as well in the Pasuk, Zeh Shmi La'olam, Zeh Zichri La'dor V'dor. This is my name, which is La'olam, forever, but means also La'alem, to be hidden, referring to the Yud Kei name, whereas the one to mention is the Aleph Dalet name. So the nincompoop practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and had pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, said his own name whenever he learned and did mitzvahs. Which reminds us, the Gemara brought a contradiction between the two psukim, Gigodo ad Shemaim Chazdecho, for great until the heavens is your kindness, and Kigado me'al shamayim chazdecha, for great above the heavens is your kindness. So does the reward from Hashem, which is referred by your kindness, originate from above the heavens or only until the heavens? So the great answer is, kam ba'osin v'shma, kam ba'osin v'shlo v'shma. Here, in the second pasuk, is referring to those who perform a mitzvah for its own sake, for no purpose other than to fill Hashem's ratzon. they will receive reward from above the heavens, meaning supernaturally. In the first pasuk, it refers to those who perform a mitzvah not for its own sake, but for personal gain, and they'll receive reward from until the heavens, meaning through natural means. And this statement is like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, "Lom yasuk adam b'torah mitzvahs afu b'shaloshma." A person should always engage in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, even though not for its own sake. Because from doing them not for their own sake, he will eventually come to do them for their own sake. Dafninov. So the siman is related to na. We think of beavers and we use beaver pelt hats. So here goes. The goofy tour group in their beaver pelt hats. Beaver pelt hats? That must mean we're on Dafninov. The goofy tour group in the beaver pelt hats who ate their stomach fat sandwiches while touring Bavel, which reminds us. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Bar Chana did not adhere to the minhag in Bavel not to eat from the fats covering the straight part of the stomach, since the Mishnah states that one should adhere to the chumras of the place one travels to. And two answers are given. Abai said the Mishnah's rule applies to people going from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another, or from one place in Bavel to another, or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but not to those traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Kevin da'an kaifin luhu avdin kavasayu. Since we, the Talmud Chachamim in Bavel, are subordinate to the Talmud Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, people come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel should act in accordance with the customs of Eretz Yisrael. Ravashi said the Mishnah's rule applies even to those coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, unless one intends to return to Eretz Yisrael, as Rabbi Bar Chana did. So the goofy tour group in the beaver belt hats, who ate their stomach fat sandwiches while touring Bavel, were told to put them away because they had not seen a great authority do so. Which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Chana said to his son that he should not eat the permitted stomach fat of an animal, not in my presence and not out of my presence. For the following reason, I myself, who saw Rabbi Yochanan eating it in Eretz Yisrael, may do so here. Kedai hu Rabbi Yochanan lismoch lav, since Rabbi Yochanan is worthy of being relied upon, both in his presence and not in his presence. However, you did not see him eating it, so do not eat it, for I am not a sufficiently distinguished authority to rely upon to go against local custom. So the goofy tour group in the beaver belt hats, who ate their stomach fat sandwiches while touring Bavel, were told to put them away because they had not seen a great authority do so. And they should not work Erev Pesach at home, even though the natives will call them lazy. Which reminds us that the Gemara asks that if someone is required to keep the chumras of the place from which he came as well, then in a situation where one comes from a place where the minhag is not to do malach Erev Pesach, and he arrives in a place where they do malacha, he's clearly deviating from the local custom and invites machlokas. So Abai answers that the requirement to maintain the chumras of both locales only applies in the case where he's coming from a place that one does malach to one that does not. Rava says it will can't apply to the former case, since when the locals see the newcomer not working, they'll assume that's because he's a batlan, someone who sits idle and doesn't work. Daf Nun Beis, so the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here it goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt, which reminds us, in Eretz Yisrael, they vote to impose malchus on a yeshiva student who sins into the Rabbanan, and they don't vote to excommunicate. Rush explains that they try to avoid excommunicating a Talmud as much as possible out of concern for Kavod HaTorah that the student represents. Since Malkus is a less severe punishment, the publicity generated is not so damaging to the Talmud's reputation and the Torah's honor. Rav Yosef excommunicated Rav Nassim Bar Asi for traveling beyond the Tchum on the second day of Shavuos because violating the second day of Yontif is a more serious offense. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt tried to discern if he could eat one of the three pickled vegetables from the Shvi's barrel, which reminds us that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Beis state that if one transports Peros Shvi's from a place where they have been depleted to a place where they have not been depleted, or vice versa, one must take on the chumras of both places and is chayev to do beer. Rav Yehuda says, Tseva Havlilcha Afata. We say to him, go out and bring for yourself. So the Gemara here attempts to clarify the Malchus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda with five different interpretations. Rav Ashi says they're taking sides in the Malchus and Mishnah and Shvi's, which states that a kobish loshel kvashim b'chavis achas, one who preserves three kinds of vegetables in one barrel, Rabbi Eliezer says, ochin al rishon, we may eat all three until one is depleted in the fields. Yeshua says we may eat all three until the last species is depleted. Rabbi Gamliel says, kosher kol mino min asadi yevar mino min achavis. As each species becomes depleted in the field, one shall remove that species from the barrel. And the Tanakam of our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Gamliel. And the Lacha goes according to Rabbi Gamliel. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit wearing the Please Don't Excommunicate Me t-shirt tried to discern if he could eat one of the three pickled vegetables from the Shvi's barrel by using his high-powered binoculars to see if the chayos in the Galil had depleted that species in the fields. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission that teaches Shalosh HaRatzos LeBir, there are three lands for purposes of beer, Yehuda, Avery, Yard, and the Galil, and each one is divided into three sublands, mountains, lowlands, and valleys, to teach that people may each meet the produce in each one of the three mainlands until the last subdivision in that land has become exhausted of its produce. that we learned from the pasuk, and it should be for your animals and for the beasts that are in your lands. As long as the chaya can eat meat or produce from the field, you shall feed it to the behemah in your house. However, once the produce is depleted for the chaya in the field, you must remove it from the animal in the house. And we have a tradition that the animals in Yehuda do not travel to the Galil to forage and vice versa, but they will travel between the three subdivisions within their main land. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simur Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The moment the Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The moment the Nigerian prince who lived on the mountain full of gallnut trees, which reminds us of the Brisa where Mishmon Gamliel says that the hallmark of mountains are mealing gallnut trees, and the Simfer valleys are Dekalim, day palms, and both of those are for the purpose of Bikurim. The Simfer Nechalim are cunning, the Simfer streams are reeds, which is for the purpose of the Nachal Esan, the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, and Simon Shvela Shichma, and a hallmark of a plain is a sycamore tree for the purpose of buying and selling. So the moment the Nigerian prince who lived on the mountain full of gallnut trees said the meat in front of him is for Pesach, which reminds us, the Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, it's forbidden for a person to say Basar Zela Pesachu. This meat is for Pesach because it appears as one is makdish an animal as a carbon eats kachim outside Yerushalayim. And Rashi explains that it's referring even to the flesh of an animal that was already slaughtered. In this case, the person would be giving the impression that he's being makdish the value of the meat for the purpose of purchasing a Pesach. Rav Papa said, the Rav's ruling applies exclusively to meat. However, in the case of wheat, it doesn't apply because it just means it's being guarded for the Chag of Pesach. So the moment the Nigerian prince who lived on the mountain full of gallnut trees said the meat in front of him is for Pesach, he was attacked by kamikaze frogs who jumped into his kneading bowls by the oven. Which reminds us that Todos Yishromi was a prominent man in Rome who instituted that the Jews should eat gedim mekulasim b'leil pesachim, kids roasted with their entrails alongside them as a commemoration of the carbon Pesach, and the rabbi said they would have excommunicated him if he wasn't a great man. He expanded that what caused Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah to make a Kiddush Hashem was the Kavachomer they made from the Tzvaradim and Mitzrayim. If the frogs were willing to give up their lives, even though they aren't mitzvah in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, all the more so we should be willing to give up our lives because we are mitzvah in that mitzvah. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1, which topic learned that one can feed the animals in the house from Shvi's until the chayas in the field have depleted that species? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 2. Which Daf do you learn the value of marrying a bas tam lechacham? That's on Daf Mem Tes. Good. Number 3. Which Daf do you learn the Rabbah Bar Chana ate the fats covering the straight part of the stomach in Bavel because he relied on the fact that he saw Rabbi Yochanan eat them? That's on Daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which Daf do you learn the one makes a bracha on a flame with Yom Kippur on a fire that had already been lit before? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that one should not say Basar Zela Pesach as it looks like one is being makdish an animal for the carbon Pesach? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which of the one that we have a 3-way machlokes regarding what one is allowed to eat in a barrel that is pickling 3 different vegetables of Peros Shvi'is? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 7. Which of the one that narrates Yisrael, they try to avoid giving a Talmud Nidui excommunication out of concern for covetatory that the Talmud represents? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 8. Which of the one that Rav Yochanan holds Tisha B'Av is different than a Tanya Sivra, either because Ni'iwa is only Roshos or that the 24 brachos are not recited in the Shemoneh Esrei? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which of the one that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah learned to be Moser Nefesh and be thrown into the Kibshon Eish from the frogs in Mitzrayim? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. And number 10, which of the one those coming from a place where they don't do Malachi Rav Pesach to a place that does should not work, and the locals will just think they're batlanim. That's on Daf Nun Aleph. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which of the one the laws of Tzuras Pesach? That's on Daf Yidolf and Erevin. Good. Number 2, which of the one Malachokas regarding what's the latest time to eat the carbon Pesach? That's on Daf Tess and Bracha is good. And number 3, which of the learn that Har Sinai has 5 different names? That's on Daf Pei, Tess, and Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.